Ghostbusters. Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth, that's a guarantee. A special welcome to those of you who are joining us for the very first time tonight, and another special welcome for those of you who are joining us tonight via Radio Free Erie. Radio Free Erie used to carry our show, and then because of some technical difficulties that we had to drop the show, have now picked it up again, and we are delighted to be back on Radio Free Erie. You know, of all the strange and even scary phenomena that we talk about here on the show, one of the strangest and one of the scariest has to be the phenomena known as skinwalkers. Although skinwalkers have been seen by people of just about every ethnicity, most of the knowledge about these skinwalkers resides with Native Americans. And among the Native Americans, it seems that those with the most information about skinwalkers are the Diné people, also known as the Navajo. Now, owing to a long history of ill treatment by the U.S. government and bad relations with the U.S. government, many Native people simply have little to say to non-Native people, and that is both understandable and regrettable. It's regrettable because we have so much that we could learn, and there's so much that we need to learn from these Native people. Well, tonight we're fortunate because my guest will be Chief Leonard Dan of the Navajo people. Chief Dan has investigated skinwalkers for many years and is quite willing to share with us what he has learned about them, and in fact has been sharing for many years with both Native and non-Native people what he has learned about skinwalkers. Now, for my audience that is not in the United States, let me share with you some information that you may not know. Within the boundaries of the United States of America, there are other sovereign nations. The Navajo Nation is one of them. It's one of the largest. They have their own government. The president of the Navajo Nation at this time is Joe Shirley Jr. The vice president is Ben Shelley. They even have a Miss Navajo Nation, and the currently reigning Miss Navajo Nation is Yolanda Charlie. To all of my friends in the Navajo Nation, Yatahe. The Navajo people speak a language that is really unique. It is spoken only in the Navajo Nation. And it played a very key role in America's ability to prosecute the war during World War II. You've probably seen the movie about Code Talkers. Well, that's the Navajo language that was being used, and for the most part, it was the Navajo language. So we have Chief Leonard Dan coming up on the other side of this break to educate us about skinwalkers. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest this evening is Chief Leonard Dan. He is he is Native American. He is Navajo. And he is someone who for a long time has been investigating and researching skinwalkers. Chief Dan, yata he. All right, we want to fix this where we can hear you because we can barely hear you. Chief Dan, I shared with the audience before I brought you online the fact that the Navajo Nation is in fact a nation, and it's got its own president and vice president, and it's even got its own Miss Navajo Nation. And it's big, but tell us a little bit about the Navajo Nation before we start talking about skinwalkers. Sort of acquaint our audience with the Navajo Nation. Who are the Navajo? A little bit about the history, because my audience is all around the world, and not everyone will be familiar.
Okay. We are one of the largest tribes in the United States, in North America. And my understanding is we migrated from Indonesia, China, and back through the Bering Strait. Some came on foot, some made big rafts, probably about maybe 5 acre wide logs strapped together, and they all got on there. And I understand they even planted corn on those rafts, and they came across with the trade winds that circles the Pacific Rim. So when they landed here, they landed somewhere down by San Diego, and then they migrated up this way to where we are right now, in the Four Corners area. And most of the elders that are still alive today with us, they still have their traditional values. By that I mean their clothing, the way they dress, and the way they talk. It's kind of totally different from, well, like I say, you know, there's a modern Navajo language, and then there's the ancient Navajo language.
Do you speak the ancient Navajo language?
Yes.
And do you speak the modern Navajo language?
Yes, there's two different types. There's a modern Navajo, and then there's an ancient Navajo.
Mm-hmm. And you speak both of those?
Yes, I speak both.
Uh-huh.
And the Eskimos up in Alaska, they kind of have the same dialect as we do. And then the Apache Nation, they speak almost our language. We understand one another. And there's another band of Navajos up in Canada, up there north of Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And we all interact with one another. So that's how we are today. We still, you know, practice a lot of native healings through herbal and trying to balance ourselves with the nature, like plants and animals and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We practice a lot of those yet right now. So I'm kind of familiar with all that, so I'm glad I listened to my grandfather. He taught me, and not actually teach me, but he kind of talked about it, so I could know after he passed away.
Yeah.
That I would teach my own children or to whoever, you know, wants to know about the Navajo.
Well, you know, while you were talking, for those people who are watching our show on our TV channel, I put up a map that shows where the Navajo Nation is located. And so when you said Four Corners, I think everyone who's looking at that can see why it's called that, because the four states come together at a right angle. And, it's Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona. And the Navajo Nation is right there at the Four Corners area. And I have to say, it is absolutely beautiful up there. I've spent some time there. And, folks, let me tell you this. If you're traveling through Arizona, make it a point to go through the Navajo Nation. And, by the way, one of the best restaurants in Arizona is at a place on the Navajo Nation territory. It's at Chin Lee, and it's the restaurant at the Holiday Inn. Fabulous food there. Absolutely fabulous food. Best I've ever eaten.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's talk about skinwalkers. Now, how long ago, how many years ago was it when the Navajo people did that migration across from Indonesia and from East Asia?
I would place that about probably 80,000 years ago.
Okay. Now, the reason I ask that is this. Amongst native peoples, there has been this information, this tradition about the skinwalkers. And as far back as we know, native peoples have talked about skinwalkers. Does the skinwalker information, the phenomena, does it go all the way back? Does it cross the ocean and go back to the original homeland?
Yes. Yes, it goes way back, you know, ever since the time of the migration.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around. At first, you know, it was used as the to spy on the enemy, to see what their plans are for the following day, if they would come and attack the people, or let's bring it up to more modern area, like around the 1900s or 1800s, where they would spy on the cavalry that were hunting the Navajos to round them up to, so they can be in captivity.
Uh-huh.
And they would spy on them. That is what it was used for. They would go into the outpost, to the commanders. They would go right inside. They would change into like a house cat, maybe a dog, or they would make themselves invisible also, where you can't see them.
So, and that brings up the question of what is a skinwalker, and you're describing it. It's someone that can change into the form of an animal.
Right.
All right.
It doesn't take anything, you know, a long, drawn-out learning process. You learn it like in probably in about 4 days. It's
really?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. I'm just astounded. 4 days to learn how to change into the form of an animal.
Yeah. You go inside a meeting place, usually way out of the way, secluded area where nobody would bother them. They would all gather there. And what they do is they would all learn this one song from the head man, that's already, you know, pretty well, he has a lot of knowledge in skinwalking technique.
Mm-hmm.
So he teaches all these, some as old as 10 years old, they would do skinwalking.
Okay, so this is still going on today.
Yes, even today it's still going on, yes. They would put a skin of each animal that is on the earth, even a bird, even a mouse. They would change into a mouse, you know, the regular size mouse, or maybe a rat.
Uh-huh. Now, have you ever seen this actually happen?
No, but my grandfather was the one that told me that. He said he had a friend that wanted him to join in the skinwalking society, but he said he didn't, you know. But he did see all the changes that were happening. Some young boys, even young girls, would participate, and they would change. And the head men would sing, and then the skin would, they would stand right behind the skin, and by itself, it would cover their whole body.
Uh-huh.
Just dress them.
Well, now, see, that's interesting, because I did some research on this, and at least back in ancient times, females were not allowed to become skinwalkers unless they were widows with no children. And
that's true also, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would have no family, you know, nobody to turn to, so they would try to ruin other families that have, you know, a lot of children and a couple, a married couple, maybe the grandparents are all still alive and they live happy, have a nice home. These single ones would try to get in there and ruin that household.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all it is today, nowadays. It's all just jealousy.
Oh, so are skinwalkers, among the Dene people, are skinwalkers viewed as evil?
They could be, yes, they're evil also. They could take a life.
Mm-hmm. But they're not necessarily evil, huh?
Not really, not unless well, there's say me, for instance, if they cast a spell on me and I become sick, really sick, and the doctors don't know what's wrong with me,
mm-hmm.
then I would go to a medicine man or a shaman, if you will, and he would cast that spell out of my body, then I would get well. So there's good and bad.
Well, now, are skinwalkers, are they also shaman?
Yes, they're shamans too.
Okay, so every skinwalker is a shaman?
Yes, they could be, yes. There's some bad medicine men and bad shamans or good ones. And, you know, you have to be careful when you're out here. See,
Have you ever seen? Now, I asked you earlier if you had ever seen that ceremony where they become skinwalkers, but have you? And you said you had not, but have you ever seen a skinwalker?
I've seen about probably 15 of them in my lifetime.
All right. Now, how did you know, Chief, that was a skinwalker?
They use a special design on their face. They paint their face like in a vertical stripe, black and white stripes.
Okay.
And that's how I knew. I came upon 8 of those that their faces were all painted, their hands were all striped up and, you know,
mm-hmm.
vertical. And I asked my grandfather what that was, then he told me, he said, those are skinwalkers, you've seen them. So
okay, now, did they look human or did they look like some other animal?
These ones with the painted faces, they look like animals.
But
from the waist down, it was an animal. They could be half and half. These dive scene was in broad daylight.
Okay, let me very quickly, let's see, do I have time? Yeah, I've got time. I want to share a story real quickly about a non-Native American, and but she and her family were traveling from Flagstaff to Wyoming, and they were traveling across the Navajo Nation up near, I think it's pronounced Kayenta, right near the border with Utah, and they went to Wyoming for a visit with old friends of the family. They used to live there. And then they're driving back. They're coming back to Flagstaff. This happened, sometime between 1982 and 1983. So it's a few years ago, but not all that far back. And what happened was they're traveling down the road. It begins to, they have lightning and thunder, and so, and it's very, very dark. And so they kind of slow down to go around a curve, a bend in the road. And all of a sudden, this lady's dad, who was driving, I won't repeat what he said, but it was something like, holy moly, what is that? And he slams on the brakes to keep from hitting it and to keep from going into the ditch, and whatever it was jumps up out of the ditch toward the truck, towards the pickup, and she only saw it for a few seconds, but she said it was a hairy animal, but it was dressed in men's clothes, and it had wild yellow eyes. Later, a friend of hers who is Navajo told her that that was a skinwalker. Now, this happened in 1982, maybe 1983, not all that long ago. Are skinwalkers still active up on the territory of the Navajo Nation?
Oh, yes, there's a lot of them here. They're everywhere.
All right, Chief, are they something that we ought to fear?
You just have to be careful. You know, a lot of times, like the incident you just told me about, when you go around a curve, you tend to slow down. That's like if you're driving a pickup truck or maybe a station wagon, they would jump on your vehicle to catch a ride to the whatever location they're going to.
So they're not necessarily trying to attack the people in the vehicle.
No, no, they're not trying to, but they're just trying to catch a ride.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll come back, and I've got some more questions for you about skinwalkers when we come back. Folks, don't go away. More with Chief Leonard Dan right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Chief Leonard Dan of the Navajo Nation, and we're talking about skinwalkers. Chief Dan, I want to get something real clear in our minds here. These skinwalkers do not wrap themselves in the skins of animals, but actually become the form of the animal. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. Like I said, the skin starts creeping up on their body, and then it covers their whole body, and probably in a minute or so.
How many skinwalkers? I'm sorry, go ahead.
And they become the animal that the skin is covering their body, whether it's big or small.
Okay, do they have any kind of special powers?
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Like what?
Like they carry a form of powder that paralyzes you, or kind of you get disoriented. Like if you're driving in a truck and say you didn't know this person, you got into an argument with this person, but you didn't know he was a skinwalker.
Mm-hmm.
So at night when you're asleep, he'll come after you, and he'll come inside while you're asleep and sprinkle this powder on you. The following day you wake up like you're driving down the road going to work or something. You'll be in an accident. You'll either be hurt real bad, paralyzed, or you could take your life. That's how they work.
Yeah. Okay, now, do you have any idea how many skinwalkers there are that live on the Navajo Nation, in the Navajo Nation?
I believe there's probably around about 4,000, maybe more right now.
All right, now right up on the northwest edge of the Navajo Nation, the northwest edge is just over the line into Utah. There's a place in Utah that has come to be known as the Skinwalker Ranch. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I know where that is.
Have you ever been there?
I've been there, yeah, but I spent the night there looking for these creatures to come up to our camp. But that, I think they did, because they came up in the form of we couldn't see them, but we know that they were there, because the as they were walking, it was red dusty, that fine sand or clay sand.
Mm-hmm.
They were kicking up that dirt.
All right, now
we knew it.
In the Navajo, ancient Navajo pictograms and petroglyphs, we see a lot of carvings of and paintings of what looks like a coyote. And I've been told that that's a symbol for trickster, for a deceiver.
Yes.
Is that also a symbol for a skinwalker?
Yes, also, yeah. It's also a symbol for skinwalkers, and also, if a coyote runs across your path, it's telling you what they carry messages, you know, to us Navajos, or to anybody that believes in the native way. The coyote is telling you to be careful, because you're going to get sick. Either yourself or somebody in your family. That's what it's telling you. So.
All right. Now let me ask you a question. How old are you now?
I'm 71.
Okay. Now you were raised in the traditional Navajo way, and you grew up in those ways, and you've lived those ways. So let me ask you, from your vantage point now of 71 years, have you noticed that this omens like this, with the coyote running in front of you, and then either you or someone in your family is going to get sick, have you noticed that either it's true or it is not true? Have you seen it to be true or not true?
It's true, because I've experienced it. Before, when the coyote ran across my path, I would, you know, keep going, because I didn't believe in it. And then my mom told me to be careful, because that's evil right there, telling you that something's going to happen to you or your family. And so that's when I, you know, start having respect for these coyotes crossing my path. What I would do if I'm driving on the highway, I would stop. Let somebody else go over that that those tracks that the coyote left, then I would follow. That way it wouldn't affect me. So
someone else goes first, and then you can follow.
Yeah, someone else goes first, and yeah.
All right, now, let's say that you're out walking, up in the Navajo Nation, it's not desert like it is down here in the Phoenix area, but there are wide open spaces, great wide open spaces out there. So you're walking, and a coyote runs across in front of you. Can you tell when that coyote runs across in front of you, can you tell if that's a coyote or if it's a skinwalker? Can you look at it and tell which one it is?
A coyote, you know how they kind of drag their tail straight to the ground?
Yeah.
A skinwalker would pop.
Okay.
Stiffer and straight out.
Yeah, we lost your telephone there for a minute. A coyote has his tail pointed towards the ground, and a skinwalker would have it straight out, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, when you're just walking around, let's say you go over to Window Rock, which is the capital city for the Navajo Nation.
Yeah.
You go over to Window Rock, and I forget if it's a Walmart or a Kmart, but there's a big department store there, a big store. And you go in,
yeah.
People are in there shopping, and you're walking up and down the aisles. Can you tell if any of those people that are in there that you pass in the aisles, can you tell whether they're skinwalkers or not?
Yes, I can tell.
Now, how can you tell?
I can tell because they would stare at you, and their eyes would be like glassy, and they don't blink. They'd stare at you, like they're putting a spell on you. That's how I know. Even in a swap meet, you could pick up all these people that are in this, even children like 10 years old. I can pick them out.
Uh huh. Okay, now, let's say that you've got someone in your community there that's a skinwalker, maybe several of them, and everyone else is afraid of them. Would I be correct? Everyone else in the community would be afraid of the skinwalkers, right?
Yes, but, you know, they're really secretive about, you know, their practice. Because once you find out and you know that that person could be my neighbor, is a skinwalker, and if I go over there and look at him, or if he comes around my house at night and I take a shot at him and wound him, and the following day he's to the hospital to get treated, and knowing that I shot this creature, I would check the hospitals to see who is being treated for a gunshot wound. And I would go over there and look at him in the face, make eye-to-eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
That person will die within a day.
You know, there was a very interesting... very interesting episode of the X-Files, in which there was a skinwalker, and this was a young man, and when he was a skinwalker, he would kill people, and he even killed his dad, but he didn't remember this when he would turn back into a human. What about skinwalkers in real life? Do they remember what they've done when they were in the form of the animal?
No, they once the hitmen start singing that song, they go into a trance, and they don't remember where they've been or where they were that the night, during the night. They generally roam around to these different houses at night. So after probably 1 o'clock at night,
mm-hmm.
you start doing evil things to your house or even your vehicle. They would. Let me kind of step back a little bit. What they would do if they want somebody to be killed, they would go to these junkyards where these old cars that people had died in,
mm-hmm.
they would scrape off their blood, their dried blood, and they would mix it into this powder form that I told you about.
Yeah.
They would paint that under your own car, and that's how, you know, you'd be in an accident, and you'd get killed in an accident.
Now, I mentioned this before, you're 71 now, you've been watching all of this for all of your life. I think for many of our listeners, this is something brand new. You're opening a window into a world that's brand new to many of our listeners. They have no idea. And, I think what, especially in America, what most people think they know about Native Americans is what they've seen on TV. And, as you know, that's pretty inaccurate. I'm part Native American, and although I don't know as much about it as you do, I know that what I see on TV about Native Americans is usually not accurate. So you're opening a window for us, and we're getting to see life in the Navajo Nation in a way that most people never would get to see. So for 71 years, you've watched this. You've seen incidents where skinwalkers have, as you said, taken that dried blood, mixed it into a powder, mixed it into a solution, and painted on the underside of a car. And then that person that drives that car next has an accident, and they're killed. You've seen this happen?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it happened. It happens almost every day here. So if you want to, you know, learn more about what we're doing out here with my own group, we have a website. They can go to Crypto Four Corners. They can Google that.
Okay. So, Crypto Four Corners.
Untamed Dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
We got several videos or DVDs out. So all the information that I'm talking about right now, some are in there.
Okay, we have to step away for a break for just a moment. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back. We're talking with Chief Leonard Dan of the Navajo Nation, and man, are we getting an education, a wide open window into things that I think most of us would consider to be paranormal. And there are people, I'm sure, that are hearing this and saying, no way. But, you know, we play a during the commercial break, sometime tonight, you'll see it. We play a spot where it says, just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And there are a great many things you have never seen that do in fact exist. Chief Dan is someone who has studied and investigated skinwalkers for a long time. Chief, I've got to ask you, how do you protect yourself? Because obviously, the skinwalkers in the Navajo Nation must know that you are investigating skinwalkers.
Yes, I have my own protection that my grandfather introduced me to. It's a herbal medicine or that I use, I usually take a pinch of it and put it in my mouth and kind of like chew on it and swallow it. It's real bitter. And also, I use a blessed cedar, which I burn morning and night to protect me and my family. And also, I put the ashes on those burned cedar on my vehicle. So that's how I protect myself.
Have you ever had... Yeah, go ahead.
They are really afraid of the burning cedar, the smell of it.
Well, why? Do you have any idea why?
I don't know why, but they are afraid of it. Something in the burning or something to do with the cedar that they're afraid of.
All right, now, have you ever been attacked? Or has your home ever been attacked by skinwalkers?
Not attacked, but they've been inside my house in an invisible form. I know they were there because I have a house cat.
And
she was the only one that could see the sphere that they float around in, like a big bubble. They go from they kind of go in the wall or sit up there on the shell, and cats are the only one that could see them. And I knew that's what she was hissing at. So then I burned my cedar, and then I told them to get out. You know, I don't want you in my house anymore. You know, I could talk to them like that. You know, I said, I'm not the one that's doing evil to you. If you want to do evil, do it to your own kind. That's what I would tell them.
All right, now, I want to run this past you. This may be accurate, it may not be. I have a friend who is Navajo that told me this, and it makes sense to me, but I want to run it past you. I want to see if it's correct. He told me that, he said, you people out here, and we were not on the reservation, we were not on the Navajo Nation territory. He said, you people out here think that there is a physical world and a spiritual world. But to us, there is only the world in which there is physical and spirit. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Well, see, now that sort of makes sense then.
When we get out of balance with nature, plants and animals and the earth, we tend to start getting migraine headaches and leg pains, or our body tends to start aching, and then we go to the drugstore and try to get aspirins and stuff like that, which, you know, give temporary relief. But what I do is I go to a good medicine man, and he blesses me, and he takes out all the evil that has been put into my body, like the tooth of a rattlesnake or maybe the bone of a dead person. They take all those out of my body. And
okay, now, skinwalkers are also shamans.
Yes.
Okay, now, that means they know how to cast spells on you. They know how to put a...
They cast spells, yeah.
How do you protect yourself from a spell if you don't even know that this skinwalker shaman is casting the spell? How can you protect yourself from that if you don't even know it's happening?
What I would go to do is, you usually use only one shaman. You use him all the time because you trust him and you know he's a good person.
Okay.
So every time you feel like there's something, you know, wrong with you, or like you have sharp back pains, I usually go to him. Then he would tell me that a skinwalker has shot this a real sharp bone, or maybe a cactus or a rattlesnake teeth that he put in right in my between my spine. That was giving me the pain. So he takes it out through, you know, he sometimes they use feather to extract the dart out, or they would kind of use a little tube. They don't insert it into your body, but they just, you know, suck that poison out.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, back during World War II, one of the big problems that the American government had was that every time they came up with a code, the Japanese would break the code. And so they really needed to be able to communicate without the Japanese being able to break the code. And so somebody came up with the idea of using Navajo, and they called them code talkers. And so they simply spoke in the Navajo language, which the Japanese didn't understand, and nobody on earth understood. Only the Navajo understood it. And so it was very important in the United States of America's prosecution of the war, and played a huge role in their ability to win the war. This was something that was of real value because it was Navajo. All right.
Right.
I also happen to know, because it happened on this show, that there are people within the United States military who would be absolutely interested in recruiting anyone who can shapeshift.
Right.
And
that's happening right now. So.
That's what I wanted to ask you. It's happening now. They're recruiting skinwalkers.
That's right. They're doing it. Like say these terrorists, they're coming on the reservation and taking some of the leaders of these skinwalkers back to their area. Like, let's say for instance, maybe Georgia or Alabama, where there's some military top secret installations. They would employ these leaders, the bad ones, to teach them how to skinwalk and be invisible so they can penetrate these military installations.
All right, now this is really getting interesting here, because on YouTube there is a video of a creature that was killed in the deserts out in Arabia. There was a Bedouin, and he saw these two creatures fighting. He thought they were two men fighting, and then he got closer and he could see it wasn't men, and he shot one of them. And it's a weird looking thing. We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk with you about that for a moment, and then we'll open the phone lines. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you who are just now joining us, my, have you missed a universe of information. We are talking with Chief Leonard Dan of the Navajo Nation. We are talking with him about skinwalkers, and Chief Dan, when we went away for break, we had just gotten into this information here about... I had said there would be people in the U.S. military who would be very interested in recruiting anyone who is a genuine shapeshifter. And you said it's happening right now. And you were telling us about that. So they're coming onto the reservation, and they are recruiting these skinwalkers for the military?
Yes.
How many do you think they... Well, I'm not going to ask that question. I there's a reason why. I'm just not going to ask how many. But have they recruited quite a number of them?
I believe so, because, you know, they're paying them lots of big money to teach them how to shapeshift or to get into these military bases undetected or unseen.
Mm-hmm.
To get more information on these top secret stuff that, you know, that we have.
Well, I had mentioned before we went away for break, I had just mentioned that I saw a video on YouTube that was over in Arabia somewhere, and I think it was Arabia, it could have been Iraq, somewhere out in the desert, way out in the Middle East. And a Bedouin, I think he was a goat herder or maybe a sheep herder, but anyway, he saw what he thought were two men fighting. And as he approached and got closer, he realized it wasn't men. They were standing up fighting like men, but they weren't men.
Uh-huh.
And he shot, yeah, because they turned towards him and made a move like they were going to attack him, and he shot and killed one of them. And that it's a strange-looking creature, a very strange creature. Have you seen that video?
No, I haven't.
That's a shame, because I was going to ask you if that is actually a skinwalker. I'll send you the link to that video, and you take a look at it,
yeah,
and see if you think it's a skinwalker.
Yeah, I believe it is. I believe it is, because if they go into foreign countries, what they do is they use the animal of those countries to shapeshift. So, for around here, they use like coyotes, bears, deer, stuff like that we have around here.
Okay, so they just sort of fade into whatever is around them.
Whatever. Like if they go into Africa, maybe they'll be like leopards or impalas or gazelle, something like that.
Uh huh. Okay. This is really fascinating, but you say they're being recruited for the purpose of fighting against terrorists, right?
No, the terrorists are employing these shapeshifters so they can get our top secret information on weapons or whatever.
I see. Well, are any of them being recruited by the U.S. military?
I don't think so.
Boy, they're missing an opportunity.
Yeah, these people are giving them big money.
Mm-hmm.
They come back here and they're driving Cadillacs. And
wow.
Building big homes, stuff like that.
Mm. All right, what I'm going to do is open up the telephone line, because I'm pretty sure that there are some folks who have questions or comments. Maybe some of what we have discovered here tonight has caused them to cause their mouth to just drop open, because we're hearing things that we don't normally hear. We're getting a window on a world that we don't normally get to see. And so the telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can use a flash message. You just go over to my website, scroll down, you'll see a link that says flash message. And if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use that. Now, you can, anywhere in the world, you can call these telephone numbers. They will work. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Millie calling from California.
Yeah, Millie.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, but you know, your voice is so soft we can barely hear you, and I've got the volume way up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll try to speak louder.
Okay.
Creepy, really creepy stuff tonight, Kevin. You know what? I wanted to ask something. You know, he'd mentioned that these skinwalkers, that they travel in little spheres or little bubbles.
Uh-huh.
There's a website. Can I mention the website?
Well, it depends. What is it? What sort of website is it?
It is a supernatural website.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's called Natural Plane Blogspot. And they've had, for a few times already, they've had stories about orbs that they enhance these orbs, and these orbs have faces on them. Real faces. I mean, you could clearly see the eyes and the nose and the mouth and everything.
I have seen those.
You've seen those?
Yeah, I have.
Do you think those might be skinwalkers?
I don't know. Yeah. Chief Dan, what do you think? Are those skinwalkers?
They are. They are. They're skinwalkers. They're a form of shapeshifters also, because if they go in orbs, that's skinwalking.
Wow. That's scary.
Like I said, if you suspect something inside your house, what they do is they give off a real bad odor, like a dead animal. If you smell that, but you know that there's nobody in the house. And
no,
if you smell that odor, you know there's an orb inside your house spying on you.
I've caught orbs pictures in my bedroom. I think I've told Kevin before about that. But no, I've never had any foul odors in my house of any kind.
Uh-huh.
But I was kind of excited. I had, you know, orbs in my house. I was thinking there were maybe little, you know, spirits taking care of me or something. And now I really got to think about that. If they're skinwalkers, I don't know. That's scary stuff.
Yes. It is, yeah. Well, but like I said, you know, but get a cedar or the leaves on it and rub it together and put it on yourself or in your bed or on your vehicles. It'll chase that evil spirit away.
Okay.
Another thing I wanted to ask you, Kevin. You ever going to do a show about people's dreams where we can call in and compare, you know, dreams that we've been having? I know a lot of people have been having dreams in this at this time. I don't know why, for some weird reason, people are having, you know, dreams, revelations of some sort. And I've been having a few of them. And I just would like to hear what other people have been, and I'm sure a lot of people want to know what other people have been seeing in their dreams, you know, kind of compare with each other. I think that.
Yeah, I may do that. It had not been suggested to me previously, but
okay.
I may do that. Millie, I have to run along, but thank you for the call. Very interesting.
You're very welcome, Kevin. Thank you.
All right. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Very interesting show tonight. I've heard about skinwalkers, you know, when I study with the Lakota grandmothers and grandfathers and learning shamanism. And I think I might have seen a skinwalker one time when I was actually living in Maine. There was an animal that was, I was out hiking with some friends and stuff, and we were not too far from Acadia National Park. And, you know, we're just walking along, and I just saw something in the underbrush, and I kind of looked over, And, you know, I wasn't scared or nothing. I looked at it and I saw it, and it turned and looked at me, but it didn't have the eyes of an animal. It had the eyes of a human. And I as I looked at it, I said, holy crap, that's a shifter. And, I mean, you know, this is, you know, long before I really started, working, learning about shamanism and stuff. And I was just wanted to ask Chief Dan if sometimes the skinwalkers will be like that, if they'll have human eyes, you know, while they're in their animal form.
Yes, they do, yes. What they use, they don't have animal eyes. What they use, especially at night, they carry these little crystals. They look in that to see, you know, what's around them. That's their eye, the crystal.
Okay, Debbie, thanks for the call.
All right.
We have a flash message from Andrew in Australia. And he says, hi, Kevin. Yatahe, Chief Leonard, Dan. Are skinwalkers and shapeshifters one in the same? Is it the
yes,
same
they
thing?
Are.
Okay. And it says, a little bit off topic, but compelled to ask, what do you make of the crop circle formations and symbols? Do you see anything coming up that's going to change things in regard to prophecy and legend?
Repeat that again.
Okay, what about crop circles? It's a little bit off topic, but he wants to know if you see anything in the crop circles and the formations of those crop circles that indicates there's any big change coming.
Yes, those crop circles are made by, I don't know, it's not from skinwalking or anything from this earth. It's coming from, I don't know, outer space or through dimensional time travelers made those impressions in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, I haven't really looked into that yet. But as far as I know, here on the reservation, that's something that is fairly new to us.
Mm-hmm.
All those markings and things like that. You know, let me tell you this little story.
Okay, let me say to the caller that's on hold, just hang on, and we'll get to you in just a moment. Go ahead, Chief.
Way back in the early times when the Peru was, they were just building those their dwellings on top of the mountain there.
Yeah.
At the bottom, in the desert floor, there was all these carvings on the desert floor. There's pictures of giant birds, or a lot of markings.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, it's the Nazca lines.
Yes.
Uh-huh, down at Nazca.
And what happened is all these Anasazis that used to live here, they migrated down there, and that was an airport. Some sort of craft landed there. Some of these ancient people got on those crafts and it took them away. I don't know where. They don't know.
Hmm.
So that's one side of the story, you know, that my grandfather had told me about.
All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Colin, and I'm calling from New York.
All right, Colin. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, just a comment. Millie was asking about what people have been dreaming, and I think for me, it's a lot of times I come up with scenarios with my current work relationships and stuff like that, and simple things, and it's hard to decipher what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The other one with the shapeshifters, from Ohio. I forget her name, I'm sorry. But she mentioned about shapeshifting, and it made me think about, I was at Mount Marcy when I was younger, with my wife is now, and we were dating at the time. And I saw something, a giant rabbit, basically, just a rabbit that was too big to be a rabbit, as I was basically running up the trail. It was to get to the Johns Brook Lodge and back, it was going to be like 16 miles, and I had to really hustle to get there before the day was going to end. And I wanted to get to the peak. So my wife set up camp at the little lean-to we had, and I saw this giant rabbit as I was running up the trail off to my right in the woods, and it was like mimicking my run up the trail. And I can never shake this experience. And what I really wanted to ask, this is the thing I wanted to ask of your guest, was I try and share some of my experiences with people, and because they're like that, you know, when you try and tell somebody like something like that, they just look at you like you're weird, and it is weird, and they should think that. And I just wonder, what is my path? I mean, why is it that I keep seeing weird things all throughout my life that I just can't explain to people? And what is that? Why am I so troubled by these things?
What do you think, Chief?
Well, I've seen those giant rabbits down here on the reservation, especially around in the early morning hours. Like right now, I'm sitting at the base of a mountain in the Four Corners area, and I'm kind of way on the boonies, kind of listening and watching the shadows, and to see what comes up out of the forest there, here.
Would you know how to categorize somebody like me? Like at work, when I try and talk about something that's well documented, something that they could check the verify the facts themselves. It seems like even the most innocuous of these cases, anything that breaches on paranormal as a reference, seems to put people off so much. What is wrong? I mean, to me, I just want to bring people to this light where we can understand that it's not so much about buying any story. It's not so much about like saying putting stock into any given account. It's more about open your mind. Let's open our mind to this stuff, because there's more than we take to our day every day with our perception. If you don't think that, then what is it that you have got figured out that I don't? You know, what is it about the world that you have figured out that you can stop with your perception? You know, how is that so finite? Tell me about that, you know?
Okay, Colin, I have to move along, but thanks for the call. Good observations and good questions. But that's true, isn't it, Chief? There are people who just, if they haven't seen it, if they haven't touched it, if they haven't tasted it, then it doesn't exist.
Well, the best thing to do with these kind of things is look for the tracks. And if there's one there, cast that thing. Then, you know.
Now, what kind of tracks do they make? What sort of tracks do they make, Chief?
Well, it's just like a regular rabbit track, but only real long. Sometimes they got real big, sharp claws, where they shred the victims or other animals that they come upon.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, they haven't attacked any humans. Because we have some sightings on those giant rabbits down here. And they got fangs, you know, kind of long nose, and they got fangs. The only different thing is about those is they got a longer nose, like a chihuahua, fangs. So everything else is like a rabbit. But they run on their hind legs, they run upright.
Oh, really?
They stand up, yeah, they don't go on fours, they run on their hind legs, like a kangaroo.
Wow. I have never seen anything like that. But, you know, here's another thing, and I've said this on the show before. There are great vast areas here in the United States of America upon which no human foot has ever stepped, so far as we know. It's big areas.
We have a lot of those areas like that here on the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are not explored. No humans have ever wandered into a lot of these canyons. That's where a lot of these creatures are. You know, where they come from, I don't know. Maybe they were dormant for all these years. Now, all of a sudden, they're coming out. They look like naked chickens, but they got sharp claws like a dinosaur.
You've seen these?
Yeah, we got little dinosaurs out here.
Wow. And you've seen them.
Hard to believe, but we cast some tracks of it. They got claws.
Have you ever seen these things actually with your own eyes?
Yeah.
How tall are they?
Pardon?
How tall are they?
They're probably about 2 feet tall, maybe 3 feet. I've seen pictures of them in these dinosaur magazines and stuff like that.
And you've got them living out there.
We got some sightings out here.
Wow.
And one of these sheep herders witnessed, they came upon a flock of these little dinosaurs. They were ripping the sheep apart.
Super. We have to step away for a break. I want to hear more about that when we come back. Also, caller that I just put on hold, if you'll just hold on when we come back from this next break, I will bring you up first, all right? And that next break should take over right now. There it is. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Chief Dan, if you don't mind, let's go straight to the phone line. The caller's been holding for quite some time, and so we'll take that call, and then I want to get back to those dinosaurs. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Leonard and Kevin, this is Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I got a question for... Mr. Leonard.
Okay.
Any folklore that he knows about, aliens, shape-shifting, like the reptilians or anything like that, and would fall in that category as skinwalkers?
What about that, Chief Dan? What about the Navajo folklore? Does it include aliens from other planets?
Yeah, I think so, because the first original twin warriors, they used to travel up in the sky on the rainbow. And that's as far as, you know, I know about, you know, aliens and stuff like that, but as far as shape shifting into space creatures, it hasn't, you know, been done yet. Maybe it will later.
because there's a lot of movies out that they could imitate.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of imitation, so it's bound to come out.
Okay.
Yeah, I got one more question for him. You know, he said that the elders or some teaches people to be able to shift into, I guess, whatever kind of animal they desire. Is this possible for anybody?
Yes. Like I said, you know, these terrorists from probably other countries, those with big money, they pay these evil shamans to come out to their area and teach them how to shapeshift.
So they don't have to... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, the point is they don't have to be Navajo.
No, anybody can do it.
Yeah, that was my question. Yeah. Okay, that's all I have.
Yeah, anybody can do it.
Thanks, Terry. I appreciate it. Great question. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. Or if you need to call me on the toll-free line, it is 888-223-4599. All right, now, Chief, you said before we went away for break that there are a lot of canyons where nobody's ever gone in there, up in the Navajo Nation. And I've been showing a map that shows where the Navajo Nation is located, but let me show one that's a little bit closer, a little bit zoomed in. I think almost everyone has heard the song by the Eagles that says, "Standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, got seven women on my mind." Well, guess where Winslow, Arizona is? It's in the Navajo Nation.
Yes.
And there are quite a number of historic places that are in the Navajo Nation, but Winslow, Arizona, is down in the south west side, just a little bit west of center. But you've got New Mexico to the east, you've got Colorado to the north, you've got Utah to the northwest, and then of course Arizona across the center. And it's a big, big area. And in that area, as you said, there are lots of places where, as far as you know, no human has ever stepped. And you said there are creatures that are coming out of those canyons that people thought were extinct, or creatures they've never even seen before. Let's take this call, and I want to ask you about those dinosaurs right after the call. All right, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
This is JC, and I'm from the Four Corners area. I've worked with Leonard for about 20 years. Hello, Leonard.
Oh, yeah, hey.
How are you, sir?
Good.
Yeah, we've got some video of those dinosaur tracks that we're following up this slippery slope. You know, that same canyon, I'd had my son out. He came home on leave from Iraq. And we had a really windy day down in that canyon. We went behind a rock shelf that had fallen off. It's about 60 feet tall. And we stood back there to light up a cigarette. And I told him, when we come out, if something's been following us, irregardless of it knows we're here, blah, 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 it's still going to expose itself and show itself because it's looking for us behind this rock. And when we came out, I took one direction. My son took the other direction. He saw something of a Komodo dragon size, 10 to 12 feet long, go down the side of this rock face and take off. So, you know, we've got probably several different kinds of reptiles off in this, just this one particular canyon, which I believe Navajo nationwide, they're everywhere.
You know, down here in the Phoenix area, you have the Hohokam ruins and things they left behind here. And in kind of an overlay of the Hohokam area, you have the Pima. And they say that the lizard people came up out of the sand and taught them how to live in the desert. Now, I wonder if maybe if they're referring to something similar to what you saw or your son saw, or you think it's something entirely different.
You know, it's hard to say. I've got another witness. Leonard could go on and on and on about different witnesses and different anomalies that we come across over the years. But we have another witness in Newcomb, New Mexico, who has an actual dinosaur twice the size of his pickup truck that on occasion comes in and snaps up a sheep and just gobbles it down like an iguana, you know, just puts its head back, and it can swallow these sheep almost whole.
And where is this?
Interesting. Over by Newcomb, New Mexico.
Okay, now I'm not familiar with Newcomb. Where is that located?
Newcomb is kind of on the way to Gallup from our area in the Four Corners.
Okay.
And UNM, University of New Mexico, came and they knocked on his door, and he's got some fossilized prints on his property. And they said, hey, we're going to cast these prints. You know, we've got some Subway sandwiches for you. Here's some water. Blah, blah, blah. We're not going to leave a mess. We're just going to cast these prints and leave. And he says, well, you want to see some fresh prints? And he took them down into the wash, and there was these great big, huge, three-toed prints, almost identical to what was fossilized up on his property. And what's amazing, what did they end up casting? They ended up casting the fossilized prints.
They didn't want to know about the new stuff, huh?
This gentleman sees this dinosaur twice the size of his pickup truck on regular occasion. Leonard can tell you about the Laguna Pueblo, Native Americans out there by Albuquerque. This gentleman killed a 55-foot-long rattlesnake, as big around as a 30-gallon water barrel. There's so many strange anomalies out here outside of Skinwalker. And I'll also tell you that Leonard has traveled the country with me as our tracker, searching for Bigfoot.
Yeah, I saw a video dealing with that. Is Bigfoot entirely different from skinwalkers, or are they one in the same?
That's where we've made a distinction over the years, and I think for a long time Leonard may have grouped all these things together, but then, you know, Leonard and I witnessed Bigfoot fishing. Leonard and I witnessed Bigfoot always in search of calories, where the skinwalker goes out, is sent out to do a job by a master witch, you know, whatever that job is, that's what they do. And that's what, you know, Leonard's talking about. They probably don't remember what mm-hmm. they were sent out to do. They were sent out to do a job. But that's where we've made a distinction between Bigfoot and skinwalker, is we see Bigfoot with babies. We see Bigfoot fishing. We see Bigfoot with a dead deer over his shoulder. You know, this dude is busy getting calories, where Skinwalker is just busy out terrorizing and torturing people.
Now, you live in the Four Corners area, and Leonard lives in the Four Corners area as well. Do you find these Skinwalker incidents, do you find that happens almost entirely on the reservation, or does it happen off the reservation as well?
Well, and I'm really glad Leonard brought up the point, because there's wealthy people around the world who want to learn how to do this, and there's other entities around the world who want to learn how to do this. Now, what he probably hasn't gone into yet, I got off work a little late and got in the show a little late, but number one, you have to kill one of your family members, bring the body in, and they're going to have necrophilia with the body. They're going to pull some organs out of the body, and they're going to make some potions. They're going to make some powders. it has to be someone very near and dear to you and very close to you. And with Crypto Four Corners, over half of our crew is Native American, and they all agree that child abuse, necrophilia, cannibalism, and homicide have no place inside any society. And we all agree upon that, without a doubt. So this is an evil thing. And we've got our new video out. It's Navajo Skinwalkers and Legends. And you find us on Crypto Four Corners. You can order this video. And these are first-hand interviews with people who've come face-to-face with these creatures, with people who've shot these creatures. You know, it's running amok out here right now. And I think it's more along the lines of a community service that we expose things as we can, because we get no cooperation from any tribal entity on exposing the evils that go on. There's children as young as 8, 9 years old, Leonard told you, being brought into this skinwalker art, and they become slaves. And once you come inside the skinwalker art, your whole family turns to it, or they die. It's just evil.
That's worse than the drug gangs. That's just incredible. JC, I want to thank you for the call. A break is taking over and we have to step away. We'll be back, though, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach. Wow, what a fascinating call that last caller was, Chief Dan.
Oh, yes, he's my partner.
So in order to become a skinwalker, these folks that do it actually have to murder someone close to them and their family, commit an act of necrophilia, and then take out the organs of this person and make potions with it.
Right. Well, like you said, you know, on our DVD or CD, it's all in there.
You know, it boggles the mind. I mean, why would anybody want to become a skinwalker?
I don't know. It's sort of an art that everybody wants to try it out, because what they do is they go into these homes and they watch you, your wife, you know, the women that live alone, they look at them up close.
I see.
So.
Oh, my, my, my. Wow. Dinosaur tracks. Dinosaur. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Chief.
They even go to these big cities like Phoenix there. I remember this one girl, she had just moved down there. She was only 19 years old. She got an apartment on this high rise there on Central.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to school at ASU. And she said she woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning. She opened her drapes. She was up on the 7th floor. And she saw this person looking in on her.
On the 7th floor?
Yeah, it was. It had floated up, straight up to her window. It was out in space looking at her.
Well, you know, Phoenix is the kidnap capital of the United States.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's not a statistic we're proud of, but it is a real one. All right, so up in the Four Corners area, you've got skinwalkers. There's all kinds of kidnappings going on. There are people being killed because of this skinwalker thing that's happening. And as JC said, it's running rampant. You've also got dinosaurs, living dinosaurs up there. You know, I think people who are on the outside, and it's, believe me, folks, it's easy for you to do this if you've never been to Arizona or New Mexico. It's easy to sit out there and say all of this is impossible. But I would challenge you to do this. You come to Arizona. You go up to the Four Corners area. Spend some time out on what is sometimes referred to as the reservation. It is the Navajo Nation. Spend some time out there and look at the wide, wide open spaces. As you just travel across. You'll travel across most of the state of Arizona as you travel across the Navajo Nation. Look at the wide open spaces where you see no houses. There's nobody living there. You see no one out there. And as Chief Dan said, there are canyons out there that no one has ever been in as far as they know. And they are the Navajo who live there. And as far as they know, no one's ever been in those canyons. It is entirely possible for the strange and unexplained to be normal everyday fare in those places. JC talked about his son seeing something the size of a Komodo dragon scamper down the side of the cliff and hide in the rocks. Have you ever seen a big lizard like that out there?
Yes. We've got several of those sightings there, like JC said. Also, we have some snake women.
Snake women?
Half of it is human, and the lower end is totally snake, and they're big.
I'm getting the shivers just thinking about this. I've met some snake women, but I've met some snake men too. You're talking about actually physically half snake, half human.
Right. Like the, what's that, Medusa?
Uh-huh.
Something like that, yeah. We have those.
Have you seen those?
No, but I've had some, several people that seen them, and they told me the story about them, so I believe them. But I've seen some tracks. I've seen some tracks of them.
Mm-hmm.
They look like Sidewinder tracks, but only bigger. I'd say about they were, the tail is probably about maybe 10 feet long, probably about 8 feet in diameter, something like that. They're pretty huge.
Wow. Well, see, now maybe that's the lizard people or the reptile people that the Pima talk about.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Well, yeah. Well, here in the Four Corners area, there's a lot of abandoned mines. They were not sealed. They were left open.
Mm-hmm.
So inside those mines, there's a lot of water. Uranium water, the water that runs in there from the rainfall.
Yeah.
And they got contaminated. Now they're like turquoise in color, real bright blue. And I think these creatures or animals that go down in there and drink the water, so dry right now, there's no rainfall or anything. There's no water runoff. So they go into these caves and drink that water, and I think that's what's changing them.
Well, now that's interesting. It may
that's
be.
That's another theory there, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, people think that all of this is mythological, and yet there are people right here in the state of Arizona and where you are in New Mexico and in Utah, there are people who are responsible, feet on the ground, go to work every day kind of people that will tell you they have seen these things. And, you know, they have no reason to lie to you. They say they've seen them. And it's kind of like someone that says they saw a UFO. There are always people that say they don't believe it. But why would someone lie to you about something like that when they're going to be ridiculed for saying they saw it? Why would they risk the ridicule? If they saw it, they saw it. We may not be able to explain it. All right, so what do you think is going to happen? Are the Skinwalkers going to win?
Pardon?
Are the Skinwalkers going to win, or are the normal people going to win?
It's probably going to be about a half and a half. Because like I said, you know, there's a lot of younger kids that are learning the trade, so...
Okay.
You just have to be careful.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we're just about out of time. I want to say to you, Chief, how much I appreciate you coming on the show tonight and talking with us and opening to us the window on a world that most of us would never know exists.
Well, go to our website, and we got some videos out there that we can... send out.
Okay. You also have on your website some videos that are posted where people can just watch the videos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment as I close the show. I want to talk with you after I get off of the air. I want to thank you for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, tomorrow night... If you have ever wondered if there's a real Hogwarts and are there really wizards, I've got someone coming tomorrow night that people call him the real Dumbledore. He even looks like him, and he's the headmaster of a school of wizardry. He'll be with us tomorrow night. His name is Oberon Zell. Don't miss it. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.